Amen. Colossians in chapter 1. We want to start looking at some facts concerning healing. So, your prayers worked. Once I start looking at some facts concerning healing. There are some subject matters in the scriptures that the local assembly should look at least once a year. The subject of faith, the subject of prayer, the subject of healing are very important subject matters that we need to keep revisiting, because those are areas that we would need almost on a daily basis. So it's not a subject matter where you can say, I know. No. You can't say you know, because you have to keep learning and keep hearing along that line. You know, we've established the fact that, let's read Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 9. It says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Now notice that phrase, we do not cease to pray for you. This is after hearing of someone's salvation. When you hear somebody just got saved, you prayed for the person to be saved. Now the person is saved. What's your next posture? Your prayer increases. Because now that the person is saved, it's a new birth. It's a new beginning. It's a fresh adventure. The person is starting on a different path, a different journey entirely. The person will have to unlearn some things and learn new things. So your prayer for that person changes, but it's now more fervent, because it says, we cease not to pray for you and to desire. Okay, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. The word knowledge there is that word we tend to pray around with a lot in the epistles, the word epignosis. That knowledge that gives no room for doubts, that gives no room for shadows, that leaves no room for questions. Epignosis. Okay, it says we are to desire that you might be filled with the exact knowledge. That's precise understanding. So there are things the individual has come into, the precise understanding of those realities needs to dawn upon that believer's consciousness. So it says, we cease not to pray for you. So when you see somebody saved, the reason why many times people live below their privileges is because there is no prayer to make them understand and comprehend the fullness of what God has given to every one of us in Christ. So it says, with not cease to pray for you, desire that you may be filled with the exact knowledge of his will, with all what? Wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all that is pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in what? The knowledge of God, so that you can be strengthened with all might. So that means, vitally, your experiences are lining up. Vitally, your experiences are lining up. Legally, there are things that have been done. Vitally, your experiences ought to line up. That's what he's saying. And he says, it's the product of prayer. Hallelujah. It's a product of prayer. Now, the subject of healing is so crucial and so important. You know, interestingly enough, if you go to the four Gospels, you won't see any chapter where Jesus thought about healing. It's very interesting. As important as healing is, it was never taught. He didn't give full teaching on it. It was just in all his messages. There was just something about Jesus' posture in his messages that kept showing one thing. God is a healing God. You know, years ago, I heard about the minister said that. He said, every verse I open in the scripture, all I seem to see there is healing. That's how healing evangelists think. Everything I see there is just healing. Because God is a healing God. So there's just something about God that has to do with healing. Do you know there is no scripture that cannot heal you? It doesn't have to be healing scripture. Every scripture that is God-breathed carries the life and essence of God, and that essence automatically produces healing. Let me say it, because I'm just introducing this subject tonight. Because you know, sometimes you think that, look for a healing scripture. All scriptures can heal. As long as it's not go down and do that likewise, no. Not Judas went and hung himself. No, not that one. That's not even scripture. It's a story. Now, when it comes to scriptures now, because as we go on, we're going to see the instruction we have in God's word in Proverbs chapter 4 from verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. You will think that as a casual instruction is not. That passage of scripture is so crucial to the exercise of your faith in almost every area of your life, because that's a description of how man is designed to function. It's a description of how man is designed to function. Is my son, attend to my words. That already tells you that there are things around you that will call for your attention rather than God's word. So you cannot learn God's word accidentally. It has to be deliberate. I don't think I know of any other age like this age where God's word should be given priority, because there are just things battling for your attention everywhere. I can hardly open my phone. There are videos waiting for me. Like somebody said, I was like, where do you get? Said, there are some stickers on my phone that I've never seen before. I discovered that because my secondary school group. Oh my God. So I have to mute them. They say all kinds of things. And they put all kinds of stickers. Stickers I've never seen before in my life. I didn't know such stickers even existed. And then they post videos, as in every day, this video content. Now, is it that to watch those content is wrong? No. It is just the fact that as you're passing those things, there are other things that are being passed across that will affect you consciously or unconsciously. And God's disposition when it comes to healing is something you deliberately learn and convince yourself about. If you are remotely unconvinced that God is a healing God, healing will not be made manifest at all times. Yet God heals always. The only thing that can move you beyond the experiences of men, all of us, we know people who were believing God. They said they were believing God. And they were not healed. How many of you? Don't raise, if you are the person who raised your hand, just say, I know people. I know somebody's from my neighbor. Understand? We all know people. That means that there are experiences that tend to make us think otherwise. But why do we have the testimony of God's word? This is very important. The testimony of God's word is the only way, listen carefully, the only way your heart can be fully persuaded about what God's disposition is when it comes to healing. Or any other matter for them. You can be. There will be people who have experiences that contradict. So you cannot depend on the experiences. You cannot depend on your own experience. You have to learn to depend on God's word as final authority. And again, the reason why this is so important is because when you look into the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, Genesis, Malachi, you find healing there. When you come to the New Testament, you find healing there. That tells you that it's the same yesterday, today, and how long? If he used to heal then, is he healing now? And he will still be healing till tomorrow. That's we got it. So your heart has to be persuaded that God is a healing God. So the first thing I want you to notice is that healing is a sign of redemption. Healing is a sign of redemption. You know, we have this passage, Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. I said healing is a sign, a pointer to redemption. Luke chapter 5, I'm going to read from verse 17. It's a passage that we've gone through a few times, but I want to bring two things there for us to see what Jesus was saying. Luke chapter 5 from verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of God was present to what? Heal them. And the question is this: we were not told the content of the sermon. We were not told as he was teaching. What does it mean to teach? To expound, to explain. So as he was teaching, something else was present behind the teaching. Let me put it this way. The word of God was going forth. The word of God is a description of God's personality, God's character. It's either telling you what God has done or what God will do. And what God has done and what God will do is a reflection of his character. Then the power that points to that character was present. And the Bible says it was to heal. So we're not told what he was teaching. That's not coincidental. If it is God that is at work and his power is present, what is the first thing the power will do? It will. You know, it's interesting that the power that was present was not to make them understand. That also tells you the power that was present because there were people there that needed to be healed. And the power was present to heal them. Well, if you leave the word them, it was to heal. Actually, what present is italicized? The power was to heal them. Then the Bible says, and behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought me to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down to the tiling, which is his couch, into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are what? Forgiven thee. So what was the faith that Jesus saw? Because obviously faith can be seen. The faith Jesus saw was in their actions. There was a teaching meeting going on. It was in an enclosed place. The house was so filled up with people. Bible says there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by in an orderly group, and Jesus was teaching. So it was a teaching service. But the power of God was present to heal. So the power of you is a reflection of the character of God's word and God himself. Now, a man that was paralyzed, couldn't walk, had four friends, they brought him. So we agree that at least if they couldn't come in by the door, to let a man down by the tiling, to break another person's roof without their permission and let the person down, he must have faith. Because if he falls, paralysis is not the major problem. He was paralyzed when you brought him. How do we know they have faith? You must have faith to allow people to carry you to the rooftop. Because if you are paralyzed, you want to be close to the ground. So if you allow people to carry you to the rooftop, you have faith. Because if you not drop, we'll be thinking burial ceremony. So you must be so convinced and so desperate, you allow that to happen. When Jesus saw their faith, he said something interesting. And this is one of the ways we know that healing is a sign of redemption. Man, your sins are forgiven you. In the four Gospels, what was the major reason why Jesus healed? It was to show them how merciful God is. Everyone that was healed, they received healing on the merit, on the basis of mercy. Secondly, they were all sinners. First, tell yourself, I am the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. See, I am the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. I am not a sinner. Healing is part and part of me. Healing is part and parcel of me. Healing is the children's bread and part of the children. So in God's mercy, people were healed. What was the first thing Jesus said to the man? Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. What did the man come for? Healing. What could hinder the man from receiving what Jesus just said? Your sins are forgiven you. Can you see sins? No. Sin is spiritual. Can you see sickness? Yes, you can see the effect of it. So what was Jesus trying to say? Look at the next verse. Look at what he said. So now, the Pharisees had a problem with Jesus being a healer. They never did. They always had a problem with Jesus claiming he was Messiah. Because other prophets had also healed. So they didn't have a problem with you, healer. Fine. See that you are healing, no problem. But they had a problem with Jesus saying, I'm the Son of God or I am the Messiah. They had a problem with that. Now see what they said. And his Christ and first began to reason. They didn't reason since. Until this statement was said. It says, who is this which speaks what? Blasphemies. Who can forgive sins but God? Are they correct? Are they correct? Where are they wrong? This is God now. That's the problem. Who can forgive sins but God alone? We know. It's only God alone. This is God alone. That's the problem. They didn't know. Now, look at the next verse. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered unto them, what reason ye in your heart? Whether is easier to say, thy sins be one, forgiving thee, or to say, rise up and walk? So let me ask you the question. Let's just ask ourselves the question. Which one is easier to say? Which one is easier to say? Okay, let me ask this way. From man's perspective, which one is easier to say? If you go to a meeting and you're ministering, and you see rise up and walk, and they don't walk. You first have cold sweat coming over you. You tell the brethren, pray. Pray. No, from man's perspective, there are two perspectives. Jesus wants you to do perspective. The man's perspective. Man's perspective to say to a man, your sins are forgiven is easier. Why? You can't tell. You can't tell whether it is true or not. Because you can't see sin. You can just see it. Nobody can hold you. From God's perspective, your sins are forgiven is more difficult. Because for you to say your sins are forgiven, somebody will have to die. Because the wages of sin is death. How many of you understand? So, what is God planning to do to pay the wages of sin, which is redemption? So, to say and mean it, your sins are forgiven, is more difficult from God's perspective. Rise up and walk is easier because God has always been saying, rise up and walk, even when men's sins were not forgiven. Hallelujah. So, how do you want to show a man that the man will be saved? You do something the man can see and the man can feel. So that when you speak about what he cannot see or feel, he will understand. So Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. They didn't believe. I will now do the one that you think is hard. So that when you think is easy, you will know it must be true. If this man gets up and walk, when I said your sins are forgiven, must also be true. How many of you understand? One? So healing is a sign of redemption. Healing is defined as the restoration of the body from a diseased condition. That's what healing is. It's the restoration of the body from a diseased condition. Our redemption is the elimination of sin from man's nature. So what sickness is to the body is what sin is to man's spirit. Shall I say that again? What sickness is to a man's body is what sin is to man's spirit. Hallelujah. Do you understand so far? So healing was ministered by Jesus as a sign of redemption. What sickness is to a man's body is what sin is to a man's spirit. It takes power to heal. It also takes power to forgive sins. So if you can believe that your sins are forgiven, you ought to be able to believe that you are what? Healed. So when he told the man, so that you can tell that the man of Son of God has power on earth to forgive sins. Look at the next verse, verse 24. Verse 24. But that you may know that the Son of Man has the word power, there is the word authority upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto God the apostle, I say unto thee, what? Arise, take up your couch and go to your house. Look at the next verse. And he immediately. He rose up before them, took up that way and lay. He departed to his own house, glorifying God. Next verse. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God. And they were filled with what? Fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. So healing is a sign of redemption. God has always been healing, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's replete throughout scriptures, so that there should be no doubt in your mind that God always wants to heal. Again, keep in mind that definition, healing, the restoration of the body from what? A diseased condition. Exodus 15, for instance, and verse 26. Look at what God spoke to Israel. Just to show one thing, his character. The character of God is that God heals. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and we do that which is right in his sight. Let me ask you a question. When you are reading Exodus now, what is right in God's sight for you as a believer? What is right? Sorry? Are you saved? Okay. So now that you are saved now, what is right? Yeah. She's getting it. What is right? Everybody else has. The exam you are writing, are you writing the answer? Or what is right? You do that which is right where? In his sight, and we give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. Now, when you are reading that now, are you going to go back to the law? Or are you going to go back to the promise of God? speak is your reality now. Can you see that? So to do what is right will mean to believe. Do you understand that? So to go back to his commandments and statutes means that you stay with what he said he has done. Can you see the difference? I hope you're following. That's what it means to you today. In essence, what we have, it says, I will put none. Now, there's another issue with translation now. This is King James. And the original text actually says, I will permit none. Not I will put none. I will permit none. So, it is going to come because of where you are, but I will permit none of these diseases upon thee. Not, he didn't bring it to. Okay, so, because again, remember, this is how God was reported. God is reported to anything supernatural. Who is blamed for it? But Jesus came and told us, the thief cometh not. You know, I love that bishop. That's the title of a sermon. He just stopped there. The title of my message today is, the thief cometh not. Tell your neighbor, the thief cometh not. That's the title of a sermon. I say, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to what? Destroy. But I am is come. Did they know that in Exodus? No. I am is come, that they might have life and have it how? More abundantly. So, the sickness and disease that they experienced, who brought it? Satan. What did God tell them? I will permit none. I will permit none of these diseases upon you. That's what God spoke to them about. That's important to understand. So, if you go to the Old Testament, you will find it there that God was always healing. Psalm 103. We're more familiar with that one. Psalm 103. And verse 3 and 4. Psalm 103. Let's read from verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is what? Within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his. So what is it about to list? Benefits. Who forgives? Who wrote this psalm? Okay. You know it's not good to say David knows more than you. Say all. Can you find any English word for all? Is it God that decided that this one has no forgiveness? That God is keeping separately, waiting till judgment day before he deals with you? It says forgives all. Say all. Okay. Can we say all is past, present, and future? Thank you. So he forgives all your iniquities and heals all your what? Diseases. So can we say it this way? If all your iniquities are forgiven, all your diseases are what? Healed. Because the reason why your diseases are healed is to let you know that your disease, your iniquities are what? Forgiven. Do you understand what I just said now? The reason why the diseases are healed and they've always been healed is to call your attention to the fact that all your iniquities are what? Forgiven. So healing is a sign of redemption. Matthew 8, because again, I'm showing you scriptures because at one time or the other, you will need to believe God for healing. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And if there are doubts in your mind about God's readiness to heal, God's character, it's going to be difficult. Why do you need to be fully persuaded? Because there's news flying around. You have prayed sometimes, you didn't receive an answer. Emphasis on you didn't receive an answer. I didn't say God didn't answer. I said you didn't receive an answer. And those experiences, when they multiply, they have a tendency of causing you to stray away from the truth of God's word. So when it says forget not his benefit, he calls healing and forgiveness a benefit. That what is your benefit for associating with God? Healing and forgiveness, they are benefits. That means they are the offshoot of your relationship. It's normal. You come into it. When you join an organization, for instance, now, are there no benefits that accrue to you? A good one, no? A good one. The boss that waits for you in the morning at a particular location picks up and drops you. Okay? Like in some very good ones. Furniture allowance, housing allocation. That's why I'm mentioning good ones. I'm not talking about the ones that deduct your salary. The ones that have allowance for you. I mean, where parking allowance, not the kind of allowance that doesn't allow you to do anything. You know, so allowance. It gives you room. When it enters your account, you have room. Not the one that removes the room you initially had before you came.
You understand? Papa love it. So there are benefits for belonging to that organization. Some of them give you lunch. 22 years ago, went to do a job for NNPC. And I saw the way people were eating. They were eating their future away. They ate like, I was like, how can people be eating like this? And it's every afternoon. I'm talking about their worry depot. They have the senior staff canteen, the lower staff. It was the senior staff. And I was feeling like, why? Then I saw some people, after they eat, they will park. They will still park home. And it's benefit of working with NNPC. It's just benefits. You cannot be fit. You'll be fat. Except you don't go to the canteen. That's the only way. But that food was his benefit. It's like every day is like they give them buffet every day. Buffet, I mean, that's what they're waiting buffet every day. That's what they're waiting. And it's just the benefit of working there. So, benefit of being saved. Once you know you are forgiven all your iniquities, also know that healing is also yours. Listen, you don't receive one and start struggling for the other. That's where the problem is. And I will tell you why it looks that way. How many of you feel that you have sinned? I mean, you feel, okay. How many of you feel like you are forgiven? You have felt it before. You feel like you are forgiven? You have tried though. How many of you know you are forgiven? Thank you. You know you are forgiven. How do you know? Revelation of God's word. Okay. Now, do you notice that if you know you are forgiven and it says he forgives all your iniquities, which is part of the benefit, he heals all your diseases, why don't you also know that way? I will tell you why. This is where we separate it, is because when it comes to healing, we attend more to our feeling. I feel sick. That means I am not healed. But you don't think that way about sin because you don't feel sin. But when it comes to sickness, you feel the pain of the sickness, so therefore, you want to conclude. So you're unconsciously receiving evidence elsewhere that's telling you. Meanwhile, once your iniquities are forgiven and you know, healing also is what? Yours. Hallelujah. So healing is not something you take extra. You will need it, but it's part of the provision. Because as far as God is concerned, to forgive your sins was the most difficult part. Because even people that were healed, that Jesus healed, many of them never got saved. Which is Jesus' main assignment. So he healed people to point them to what? Salvation. And many of them were never saved. So as far as God is concerned, to heal you is no big deal. In fact, God doesn't require you to become a Christian to heal you. He can heal you to advertise Christianity to you, and you may still not be healed. So you may still not be saved. You can refuse salvation, and you still collect healing. It's free. See, amen. And this is why. Because God is just good and merciful. He's just good and merciful. So you can have experiences that want to take your mind away from that confessing God. But I love the way Kennedy put it. He said that there are two sides of the same coin. If there's forgiveness here, there's healing here. You cannot spend half of a coin. If you have a coin, you have both sides. Hallelujah. You have both sides. You have forgiveness of sins. It also means I have healing. How do I know? I'm one of the children. And healing, Matthew 15:26, is the children's bread. Glory to God. Can you see that? Let's go to that Matthew. I hope it's 26. Yeah, thank you. So he says, let's start from the where the thought starts from. Let's start from there. Behold, the woman of Canaan came out of some coast, and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. She was possessed. But he answered her not a word, and disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. Next verse. So he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lordship of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Next verse. But he answered and said, it is not meet, right, or proper to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And he said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the what? Crumbs which fall from their master's table. So, again, if you're not following very what Jesus is saying, you would think Jesus is insulting her. Okay? He was using the language you would understand, because if you're a woman of Samaria or Canaan, to the Jews, you're a dog. A dog means somebody who is not connected to the covenant. So, the covenant they even had with God was the covenant that made healing available. Now, look at it this way. Do you know the healing Jesus is talking about here? Figuratively, he's talking about Israelites too. They are God's promised children. They were not yet children. No. They were God's promised children. That's what God promised them. So healing belongs to them. And to prove healing belongs to them, I came to heal them. And that's why almost everyone Jesus healed was an Israelite. Because that was part of their promise. Promise that God made to them. That he will heal them. So Jesus came and began to manifest that promise. Just like other prophets have manifested it to a degree. Just began to manifest it. So when Jesus told her, it's not right to take children's bread and give it to dogs. He wasn't insulting her. He was calling her attention to the fact that, you know, you are not in covenant with God. And this is for those who are in covenant with God. So the woman said something very unique, and that's where faith overrode that law. Faith always pleases God. Hallelujah. Faith overrode. What the woman said, the response was faith in operation. He said, yes, it's true. It's true. I don't deserve. So I'm not coming on that platform. But we know that if I'm a dog, the crumbs that fall is enough. Even those who are dogs, they eat of the crumbs that fall of their master's table. You know what he was saying? Just by association, at least I've come. It's only crumbs that you have, I will take it. The leftovers is okay. And God's leftover healed our daughter. The crumb. What will the actual bread do? It will forgive our sins. It will change her life. Because Jesus' response to her, look at Jesus' response. Look at verse 28. Jesus answered, O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very what? Power. So, say healing belongs to me. I'm a child of God. Healing is the children's bread. It's something I eat every single time I need it. I do not want for that bread. Healing is that bread I partake of every time and any time I need it. Glory to God. This has to be a consciousness. Because let me say it again. The minute in your mind you're thinking a particular ailment is something God cannot take care of. You know, it's very interesting how we put a lot of confidence in doctors. How do you know your confidence in doctors? Take this drug night and day. If you fall asleep, you wake up at night. I'm not taking it. They said night and day. They said by next week, I'll be fine. So they call at the office. We've not seen what's happening. By next week, I will come. You know what you are doing? You are telling them what the doctor said. Why are you telling them? You believe the doctor. You are taking the medicine. How I wish you believe God that same way. Here's the issue. Doctors are prone to make mistakes. Doctors have been guilty of misdiagnosis. But God was accurate and true. He can't fail. So if you can consciously rest on the word of the doctors, that means in your mind you made some adjustments and you took the word of a professional whose knowledge is still limited as your reason for being well. Not only that, you acted religiously in taking the medication, expecting to be well. Imagine you're taking God's word that way also. What should you expect will happen? You'll be well. What's the difference? You take medication the way the doctor recommends, and they will tell you it can have side effects. Have you taken antibiotics before? That every time you belch, the nauseating smell comes up to your nostrils. That part of side effect. You are very thirsty. You keep taking water, consuming, side effect. But God's word has no side effects, except good ones. You can take it to the bank. It has been tried 7 times in the fire. It came out prevailing still. God's word has been tried 7 times. Hallelujah. So if you can exercise faith in what the doctor said, there's nothing wrong with your faith. Your faith is working. It is what you're exercising it in that's the issue. And that's why we say that whatever you are conscious of at time, you see, listen, you don't just get accidentally healed. You can be that way in a meeting, especially when the power of God is flowing. But the truth of the matter is that to get healed consistently, there has to be a consistent effort on your part to keep healing around you. That means there are messages along that line you're constantly listening to that is exposing your heart to those truths regularly. There's nothing around me that will speak about healing. Everything around me speaks about something contrary to healing. Think about it. The news you are hearing every day. They tell you a child of 7 children under the age of 10 have now been diagnosed to be diabetic. That's not good news. That's not good news. A young man of 22 was covered to have BP. In fact, BP is like, you now start thinking as in those days, if you are not yet 50, you can't even talk about, you understand, vanity. Now, you see, 21, 22. Somebody says the world is very stressed. We know. The world is a stressful place. This Lagos. So it means that the bread that God made available, you need it. To eat consistently of it. So you must keep it consistently within your consciousness. That's what it means. Because two things. You will either need it or to minister to somebody. One of the two. And I always say this. I don't see any reason why God's power should be available and I'm not using it. It just seems so unfair. It's available. He has released it. He's not holding it back. Why wouldn't I use it? I should enjoy it. I should minister the same to what? Others. Hallelujah. Matthew 8. Healing as a sign or a pointer to redemption. We'll look at one more point after this and then we'll continue next week. Amen. Amen. Verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him men that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be what? Fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our what? Infirmities, and bare our sicknesses. Can you see that? That it may be fulfilled that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. So, why was Jesus casting out devils and healing those that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, was spoken by Isaiah. Now, what did Isaiah speak about? Did Isaiah speak about physical healing? No. He spoke about our redemption in Christ Jesus. By the stripes of Jesus were healed means that the stripes were to heal you of your sin. Say amen. Okay? So, but he now says, this is why Isaiah spoke of that redemption. Jesus began to heal to demonstrate what Isaiah said. That this is the same way the evil nature will be removed from you and the stain of sin will be taken out of you. And Jesus healed to demonstrate that reality. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I just said? So the physical activity of Jesus was pointing to a spiritual reality. What's that spiritual reality? That your sins will be forgiven. That is his assignment. When Jesus was born in Matthew 1:21, the angel told them, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall deliver his people from their sins. That's what the Bible says. John 1:29, John introduced him, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. So notice the emphasis, he will take away the sin. He will deliver his people from their sins. So why was he healing? Because when he was on earth, he could not take away anybody's sin until he went to the cross. So how was he communicating to them that he would take away their sin? By healing them of their diseases. Hallelujah. You understand? That's what he was doing. He was healing them of their diseases. So healing is a mark and a sign, a pointer to our redemption. God has always been a healing God. Because the restoration of a man's health is a pointer to the fact that God wants you to be well. Not just in your physical body, in your soul and your spirit as well. God has always wanted man to be well. So secondly, healing is God's will. Say healing. It's God's will at all times. What's the opposite of that statement? Sickness is never God's will. Oh, I wish I could say that to you 1,000 times. Say sickness is never God's will. Even when I miss it, sickness is never God's will for me. Healing is God's will for me. So important. You know, there are believers who justify why they are sick. I know I sinned. I know I miss God. We also know. What we don't know is why you are keeping to the sickness that's not yours. Because healing is children's bread. Are you still a child? Even when you miss it, are you still a child of God? Are you still a child of God? So what should you be claiming? Healing is what you should be claiming. The thief coming up but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He is a thief. When you miss it, doesn't give him right. He's still a thief. You are the king's kid. A thief is a thief. A thief doesn't need the excuse to steal. He's a thief. To steal is his nature. You see, because of what I did, I now give Satan room. The thief is a thief. If you left your car keys in a room filled with people, or your phone on your chair, you don't say, because I left my phone, I now tempted the person. No, he's a thief. Because the other people that saw the phone, I will pick up the phone and ask, please, who's the owner of this phone? Someone else will pick phone and pocket it. And thieves are all over the place. They are in Africa alone. There's this video I was watching, I think it was online, and they used to put these trick phones. How many of you have seen that video before? These trick phones that they can electrocute you. They put it somewhere. Americans were stealing it. You just steal it. And you put a bag or something. Thieves are everywhere. It's not located, it's not domiciled in the continent. You put a trick phone. Once a person picks it, he will look to see whether the person will now slip it in his pocket, he will go away. The person that's controlling the phone from afar will just zap him. Unless you pass it, but they will drop the phone in the air and run away. What were they doing? Trying to trap thieves. I think American police, they use what you call bait cars. You've seen bait cars before. You know what I mean by bait cars? Okay, they used to catch car thieves. They will leave the car, doors open, everything there. And those of you just wonder, okay, who is this fool that left the door and everything like that? They even find the keys inside, stupidity. And then they just enter the car. They try driving it away. Once they get a few distance away like this, the car just stops working. Because they disable the car remotely. And police just park, welcome to jail. What are they doing? They are removing potential car thieves from the road. I mean, you understand? So now, they parked that car. You are not the one that saw the car. Other people saw the car. So you cannot, because they parked it, they now tell them, no, you are a thief. So when you make a mistake, you don't say, because of what you did, he just died. What you did became me at all time. Healing is the children's bread. Healing is my right and my privilege. So I receive healing. I'm removing every excuse from you. You don't have excuse. Healing is the children's bread. Say it's the children's bread. Listen carefully. If at crusade grounds, people got healed and some got saved, and many that God healed were not saved, and God did not say, so, you did not accept my package of salvation, bring my healing. They still went on with the healing. What does that tell you? God healed them out of mercy. There was no condition attached. If they wanted something greater than that, they will accept salvation. So, you are a believer that healing is your bread. Should there be any excuse? So, people who don't know him, who have not received him, are getting healed. Takes away any excuse that you may have in your mind. Why will God not heal you? No, absolutely no reason. He has done the greater one. He has removed iniquities from you. So, healing is the easier thing for you to receive. That's what it means. Hallelujah. That's what it means. Say, healing is God's will for me. Sickness and disease is not. Say, right now, I receive healing in my body. I'm healed. I'm well. Hallelujah. You know, the power of God works in such a simple way that you can miss it. It works with simple statements that you can miss it. None will cast their young. That's power going forth. If I say this time next year you hug your child, that's power going forth. I'm actually saying it to her. That's power going forth. It's not that difficult. It's not that the person has to shake. Because it's not his power. It's God's power. I say none shall cast their young. It means none shall cast their young. And it's backed up by resurrection power. As you are here tonight, you are healed. Whatever the condition can be, you are healed right now. As he was teaching, the power of God was present to heal. You are healed right now. After tonight, no symptoms of that sickness or disease again. Glory to God. It's that simple. It's not complicated. We are the ones that complicate issues sometimes. Because if you find it that easy to believe, you'll be forgiven. And I know I'm forgiven. I don't just believe, I know. Glory to God. Then enjoy If healing was pointing to that, and you have what it's pointing to, then you should also have the evidence that proves what you have been given also. Acts 10, 38. Healing is God's will. Oh, before we go to Acts 10, 38, look at Matthew. That Matthew 8. That's in Matthew 8. We go a little bit up. Chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 from verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and what? Worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can what? Make me clean. So, what was this leper's problem? There was no doubt about God's power. Do you know the average person doesn't doubt God can? No. Go and ask the unbeliever, is there anything God cannot do? There's nothing. There's nothing God cannot do. Even if it's mental assent. So, what was the leper's issue? If thou will, you can. So, the question was willingness. And that's the question mark most people have. Again, remember, I'm trying to take your mind away from your experience, because the more God's word comes to you at that point in time, at that instant when it's coming to you, just receive. Don't look to your experiences. Listen. I've had health challenges that were so crucial, I almost lost my life. I remember one night, there was a reaction, my body was so violent that, and there was nobody on that particular floor of the hostel where I stayed. And I was vomiting and going to the convenience almost every 5 minutes. After a while, there was no strength to walk down, so I would just crawl on the floor. And there was nobody in the room. But as I was going, I was just saying, all I knew, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. By the stripes of Jesus. Now, the experience of the pain and the vomiting did not stop, but I also did not stop saying what I said. Because what I believed is what I believed. You know, are you going to die believing God? Will you not want to die disbelieving? That is what I believed. What did I believe? I'm healed by stripes. Then you have vomit and say, you know, I want change. I'm not healed though. Because you are giving evidence to unseen realities. Am I not healed? I am healed. That means the voice of your confession was stronger than that of your feelings. I was getting weak and I was saying it. For the first time, around 3 a.m. in the morning, for the first time through that experience, I just do stuff. And I had a supernatural encounter. And I was touching the night and I woke up and everything was gone. It was because I just stayed with it. I just kept saying 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 it. I ignored the voice of my feelings. Because it doesn't take God a second to heal you. It doesn't take a second. The testimonies in the scriptures were written to let you know, no matter how serious the situation, why do you think the Bible keeps telling you things like, the man had been in the condition for 38 years. Why do you think he's giving you a number of years? A woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. Why do you think he's mentioning number? To let you see that the length of time is irrespective. It doesn't matter. Instantly, the power of God flowed. People were delivered. So look at what this man said. He said, if thou will, you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately is what? Leprosy was cleansed. So healing is always God's will. Notice nothing was said about this man's condition spiritually, because he was a sinner. And by the way, in days of Israel, leprosy itself symbolized sin. What leprosy does to a man's body is what sin is meant to do to a man's spirit. It debilitates, crushes, cuts off, destroys over time. Naturally, leprosy, you start losing, parts of your body. So that exactly is a description of sin itself. And Jesus touched the untouchable. They call them untouchables. The people that were lepers, they don't see where people are. They have a colony separated from them. And they don't nobody touches them. So Jesus touched by showing something. I am willing. Be thou healed. And man was healed instantly. That's why we have Acts chapter 10. Look at Acts chapter 10. Okay? And we call it a night. Glory to God. See, eating is children's bread. Acts chapter 10. Peter's sermon. I'm going to read for context. Okay, let me jump to verse 32. Send therefore to Joppa, call either Simon, whose son name is Peter, is lodging in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. And immediately therefore I sent to thee that thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth. You know, at that point you cannot say you are not commanded of God. But they say they are gathered here to hear what, because an angel said that, send for Peter, he will tell thee words by which you might be saved. So what do you do as a minister? You open your mouth. Why? You are sent of God. Say amen. Say I'm sent of God. Say when I get there, I'll know what to say and what to do. That's why you pray. That's why you pray. Because you are among Gentiles. Which sermon will you preach? These are Gentiles. These are not Jews. When it comes to Jews, there's a regular sermon to preach. All of them know Jesus. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But these are Gentiles. They don't know who Jesus is. So the way you are going to preach will be different. And how you are going to present Jesus, it has to be by the Spirit. So if you are really sent, what do you do? Open your mouth. Hallelujah. I hope you get the point. See what happened then. But he says, then Peter opened and said, of a truth I perceive God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation that he that feared him and walked righteousness accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say you know. Now, this is the part where they knew, because they heard also that message. Which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee, and after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. What was the good that Jesus was doing? What was good he was doing? What was the healing pointing to? What was it pointing to? God's redemption. Hallelujah. God's redemption. So many times, if you are healed without qualifying for it, you'll be saved without qualifying for it. So both the healing and the salvation, they are acts of God's mercy. Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in what? Mercy. That's what it means. So he says, this is the word that God sent. What is the word that God sent? He sent Jesus. How did he send Jesus? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about doing good. What was the good he was doing? Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So if God is present, what will take place to prove that he's present? What will take place to prove that he's present? People will be healed. It means you cannot separate healing from God's character. So let me ask a question. Is God here tonight? Is he here tonight? What does he always want to do without fail? He always wants to heal. He always wants to heal. So you don't need to cite God to heal. Healing is a major way he proves he's around. He's present. That's what it means. He went about doing good. The good he was doing was healing. All that were oppressed of the devil. This was the scripture that was revealed to John Alexander Dowie, that changed his ministry. This was the scripture. He had buried 40 members of his congregation. The bubonic plague, very deadly plague that was killing people. And at that time, the problem was that they had a funny theology. The theology of the, I think it was a congregational church then, was that if anything like that's happening, God is one killing them. So this man began to pray. Guess what the prayer about? God, will you kill all the members of my church? How many of them do you want to take? And today people still believe that God is taking people when they die. No, they went home. Sometimes too soon. Now, he says, will you take every member of my congregation? So while he was in bitterness of soul, searching seriously for answers, his eyes fell on that scripture. He says it was as though light from that scripture entered into him. He saw for the first time, Jesus is the one doing the healing, Satan is the one doing the oppressing. Jesus is the deliverer, Satan is the oppressor. Once that demarcation came into his heart, he knew that they had been tackling the wrong way, that their ignorance was permitting Satan to run amok amidst them. 40 people already dead. As we continue, I'll show you something. Listen, we're in Africa. It's natural to have malaria, is it not? I hope you know mosquito doesn't have to bite you. No. Are you here? You have this skin. Just be stressed. So we can explain and give reason why. But let me just make it easy for you. It's not wrong for you to blame all sickness on the devil. Let's now come and say, I mean, it's not me, but just blame everything on him. It's easier. The Bible says that he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Say all. They were oppressed. Of who? Who is responsible for mosquito biting people? It's not the devil. It's the devil now. It's the devil. Just summarize it. So don't try to because I was walking in the sun. That's not the way God created this world. That you walk in the sun in our bed after walking. It's just a devil. That's it. Easier. You understand? So you know that you are resisting what? The devil. When you try to rationalize it too much, when you get much into mental, you know what you are doing? You are justifying why you should remain that way. People that are so and so age, they should not have. Just say, devil. This is devil. And God came to deliver me from the devil. And I'm delivered from the devil. That's how you should just see it. The thief cometh not. This thing that I'm seeing, is this stealing, killing, and about to destroy? It is. It is the thief. What did Jesus come to do? To stop the work of the thief. Do you understand? So, because you go to the doctor sometimes and you are full of analysis. You are just examining the results. So they said that in 7 days, it's going to take about 3 weeks for it to develop. What's developing? You are doing too much analysis. Is this sickness? Is of the devil. What should you do? Receive healing. Say amen. That's what it is. So this guy caught a hold of a revelation at that crucial point in time. A knock came on his door. Another one member was dying. The man ran out of his house without his coat or his hat. Ran to where the child was, already foaming at mouth, which was symptom of that sickness, and rebuked it. And lay hands on the child until the child stopped coughing and fell into a deep sleep. They waited around. The child woke up. The child woke up and said, Mommy, I feel so good. I feel so well. Said, I remember what Jesus said when he said, give her food. That's how you now feel good. Give her food. It's all right now. And he gave her food. And that was the end. And nobody died in his congregation again. All in there was a little light. God was waiting for this man to understand that you don't have to accept this. You can stand the ground. You can resist. You can rebuke this because this is not God. Hallelujah. This is not God. He went about healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. The Bible says all. He healed all. For God was with him. So you can stand your ground based on God's power. Based on the conviction that the Bible says healing. Say healing is the children's bread. So you can touch yourself and tell yourself, say healing is my bread. I eat it whenever I want to. It's always available for me. I don't have to be sick. I remain healed. I remain well all my days. I appropriate that right and privilege. As a son, as a child of God, I walk in health. Hallelujah. If you answer and give me praise tonight. And thank him. Glory to God. Glory to God. I feel impressed. It has been in my heart since morning to tell you that expect supernatural interventions. Move your mind away from natural calculations. Uncle A and Auntie C will do it. No. God is not limited in those he will use to assist you and to help you. You'll be mightily aided. Supplies will come. You will not be ashamed. You will not be frustrated. But supplies will come. Supernatural aid will come. Financial assistance will come. You will not be stranded this season. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you will experience help in strange places. Unusually, God's angels will work out things for your good this season. More than ever before. It's a year of supernatural aid and no limits. So expect there to be no limits. No limits, no limits, no limits, no limits concerning what you have trusted God and what you have believed for. No limits at all. Supplies, help, assistance, men, favor, all that you require is released in your direction in the name of Jesus. Yeah, you can take it to the bank and write it down. It's done. It's done. It's done. Detail, you will see it. Oh, you will see it. You will see it. You will see it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Our hearts are glad. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the grace. Thank you for your power. Thank you because we believe your word. We stand by it. We stand in the reality of it. We are mightily helped. We are greatly assisted. We have testimonies to show and to prove it. We give you praise, Father. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah.